I be Mr. Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Ashburn. Every Thursday we get the coordinators. You just finished listening to Joe Witt. Let's go out to Ashburn and check out Cliff Kingsbury.
You obviously spent a good bit of time with Caleb. I mean, I know you're coaching, you know, to face the defense, but what did you take from your time with Caleb, and what have you seen from him so far at the pro level?
Yeah, tremendous person, competitor. You know, freaky talent, you know, watching the stuff you do in practice and in the games, his ability, his feel, really, really special. I mean, he's going to be one of the top guys in the league for a lot of years. And so that was cool to get to spend time with him last year.
You also interviewed for the Bears OC job. What was that experience like?
I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, sorry.
What do you make of Eberflus's defense? And have you seen him evolve recently at all?
You know, not being there, division, I hadn't seen it a ton, but from what I remember, seems to be more, you know, post safety than it was, and very talented group, you know, the personnel on that side of the ball. They've really done a good job putting that thing together. They play hard, they play sound, and they don't make many mistakes, so you got to earn everything against them.
Kind of a specific one, what is the difference between zone read and read option?
That's a great question. I don't even know. I don't even know. I should probably know, but I know zone read. I don't know what zone option is. Yeah.
When you were at USA, I guess Caleb said that part of what you were doing there is helping him kind of get ready to prepare for the NFL. So on a daily basis, what were some of the things that you were doing with him to help in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of a resource there as much as I could be. You know, that was the good thing. Lincoln allowed me to be the good cop, and any knowledge, anything I could share, particularly with him, and we all knew where he was going, and it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he'd be the first pick for a long time. So really just a resource in any way that I could be, helping him, trying to mentally prepare for the things that were ahead.
And then what kind of, like, how often would you meet with him, and then what things did you learn about him through that process?
Yeah, I was there, you know, all day, every day. I mean, I worked there, so all the meetings I was in, out of practice, so it was like being a full-time coach, just getting to do all the good stuff. And like I said, just a tremendous competitor, wants to be great, works at it, and just insane talent. You know, some of the freaky, like, Mahomes-type throws he can make, and the vision, extending plays, the things he can do, and throw off platform was really unique.
You've got a game to prepare for, but whether Jaden plays or not, that's still a part of your duties. How has that changed if he's with him not doing as much at the moment, I guess. How has that changed your responsibilities, or has that put more on other coaches to help him while you're helping Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, DQ set up a great plan. I won't get into the details of it, but just to make sure that, you know, both guys are getting enough reps and getting a comfort level with the plays we're going to have in that they can go operate. You know, Marcus hadn't taken a snap with our offense in 68 days prior to the game, and came in and performed really at a high level and made a bunch of plays. So that was good to see, and it takes a unique person and player to do that. And so we feel really good about trying to get him some reps this week, and we're just going to take it from there.
And Ben Sinnott, Dan made the comment the other day, like, boy, you got to clearly throw in the ball all the time. It's catching a touchdown. Mm-hmm. How has he been progressing, and do you see this may be a start of him being even more involved than he has been to this point?
Yeah, definitely. His first catch was a touchdown, and the play was called Taylor Swift, so you can't really beat that to start your NFL scoring career. So he was stoked about it. But he's been getting better and better. I think the game's slowing down for him. He's a tremendous talent, can do a bunch of different things with his run game, pass game, very physical, you know, was well coached at Kansas State, so understands the run game scheme at a high level for being a guy who can be involved as much as he is in the pass game. So we're excited about his future. There's a bunch of them. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Uh-huh. But that's a good one. We'll use that again.
How long have you had a play named after Taylor Swift in your playbook? Is this new?
This was new this year. So we probably carried it 3 weeks and just finally got to calling it.
I know you hate comparing quarterbacks, but how did coaching Caleb kind of prepare you for coaching Jaden in this offense?
Yeah, I think you take a little bit from every person along the way, and you find different things and try to figure out what makes them tick and what they do best, and then try to push things that way and tailor the offense towards that. And obviously Lincoln had had a tremendous amount of success with Caleb, so that was already in place and already set, and my deal there was really to help in any way I could. But I think just the competitive nature that he showed, I mean, he would want the ball in his hands in the biggest moments and almost to a fault sometimes where he'd kind of pass up maybe an easy check down to be like, hey, I can make a bigger play, or I'm going to get out and do this, because he's that big of a competitor. And it reminded me of the guy I had, you know, at Texas Tech, because it's some of the same stuff early on in his career doing that.
Early on in the season, Jaden took some hits, both inside the pocket and while rushing. But now that he's dealing with an injury, does that affect the way that you will plan to call plays for him, knowing that he's, you know, vulnerable?
Yeah, I think that's part of what we all have to figure out when it comes down to making the decision if he's going to play or not. It's like you want him to be able to play his game, but you want to almost protect him from himself at times, because he's going to play a certain way. I mean, the whole deal, he won't slide, won't do this. Like, he's a fearless competitor, and he's going to attack the moment. And so I think that's just collectively as an organization, we got to make sure that he's full throttle, can play the way he wants to play before we put him out there.
And I know it's something you guys have worked with and talked about, him sliding and protecting himself and all that. Is there any way for you to make that a bigger point, to make that a stronger message to him, considering now that he's dealing with an injury?
Yeah, the one in the game was tough, just because I think he thought he was going to outrun everybody, which he actually can do. So a lot of guys would have slid by that point, but I think he thought he was about to get out and go, and they kind of got him from behind, and it was a tough fall. But he's done a nice job finding the soft spot, and it's going to be a work in progress.
Hey, Coach, this offense has been flowing lately, but what are some of the key things that's standing out that you really like about what you're seeing from the offense at this moment?
Yeah, the biggest thing, two things, you know, ball security and the skill guys playing away from the football, playing without the ball. That's been a huge emphasis. We knew if we took care of the ball and we played hard away from the football and we transitioned to block when our teammates got the ball, that we'd have a chance to make a lot of plays, because we have some dynamic playmakers, and they've bought in and have done that. And so guys are finishing plays down the field, they're finishing past the ball, and that's it gives you a greater margin for error when you're playing with that type of effort and that type of tempo.
Can you share why that play was named after Taylor Swift?
The tight ends came up with the name, so you'd have to ask them, but I think he must like Taylor Swift on like a deeper level.
You've worked with an unusual amount of very talented quarterbacks through your career. How has that kind of shaped how you think about building an offense?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I touched on it earlier. It's in this league and pretty much any league, if you don't have one of those top guys, you're good luck. You know, I mean, the years of the Ravens playing that great defense and Chicago 85 Bears, those don't exist. We know the league is pushed to make it an offensive league, and that's the entertainment value there. But you got to figure out what they do best and what their comfort level is with certain things, and then build it around that. And so that's what I've tried to do. Had a lot of mistakes over those years doing that, but at this point, I just make sure, first and foremost, they're doing stuff they're comfortable with. They can play at a high level, compete at a high level, and go out there and cut it loose and not have any type of hesitation when they're on the field.
What, if anything, changes for you this week if Marcus is the starter?
Just like I said, he's going to have some concepts that he maybe likes better or that Jaden wouldn't like, you know, and at the end of the week, we always talk through that with whoever's going to be playing. And the backup, we get his sheet as well and be like, hey, which plays do you really like? And they're always different, and so we'll just make sure we tailor it to concepts that he's big on and feels comfortable with and has gotten enough reps that he knows he can go out there and operate at a high level.
And then for Marcus, I mean, you said it was almost 70 days since he had mm-hmm. taken a rep. Were you almost surprised how well he ran everything?
No, just because I've seen the professionalism, I've seen the work he puts in, but you know, all those reps he was getting was just the scout team. You know, he's working the scout team, but you see the preparation. I saw how he operated in the spring, and it was basically like, hey, go do what you do. We weren't trying to hold him back or say, hey, play it safe. It was like, we're going to cut you loose, play fast, and go get after him. And that's what he does best, and I think he just embraced the moment. And he's only 30, he's still a tremendous talent, and yeah, I think his best football is still ahead of him. I've told him that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Cliff Kingsbury talking there. I thought some pretty interesting stuff there, B. You know, just Kingsbury being honest that if Jaden does play, maybe we do need to figure out some ways to try to protect him a little bit more, because he's so fearless and he's such an intense competitor mm-hmm. that maybe there's something I can do or the staff can do. And I think there's not always going to be an answer for that. You know what I mean? Yep. Because to your point, like when he was asked about the play he got hurt on, it, was there anything he could do? And Cliff's like, he thought he was going to score a touchdown. I always want him to go try to score the touchdown. Yep. And so there's not always something you can do, but you've got to be cognizant to work on it.
Yeah,
or try.
And I think the ultimate thing is, like, people who they, I guess the people want to go into a game and never call any design runs for him. And I don't think that's going to happen. On that run, he was 50 yards down the field. Okay?
Right.
The ultimate thing is maybe some of the ones that are when they're looking for it, you don't call it. But what if he drops back for a pass and nobody's open and he takes off running in? That's not on the coach. But he said it's a work in progress. But I just think at that point, like he thought he was going to go. You could see him trying to stiff the guy from behind him. Then he just goes down. And the guy came right down on him. That's how he got hurt. It wasn't that he was trying to do something stupid or run over somebody. He thought, I'm going to slide here and protect myself. And the guy was too close for the ref to even much call a flag on it. And it just happened to be a bad situation. So I think what we got to do is just learn that got a special guy. He's going to do some things that the statue quarterback doesn't do.
Right.
Pat Mahomes does a lot of the same stuff, run and do all kind of little things. You watch him in a game the other day getting ready to go out of bounds. Oh, I'm not going. He stayed on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to be different things that are going to happen. And we can't be so sensitive where every time he gets touched, we're going to be worried about something.
Yeah.
This is tackle football. It's not touch. It's not flag.
I think you're right. I mean, it's a very interesting situation, and obviously a lot is going to unfold over time, but, like, nothing – there's not a lot they could have done on that play any differently. You know what I mean? I think but I just appreciate that Kingsbury is honest on that. He's like, yeah, the kid is so fearless. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we got to try to think about what we can do, and that's part of their thought process in making the decisions if he can play this week. I think Cliff will definitely be part of that decision-making process.
Yeah.
I also thought it was pretty important that he's like, yeah, nothing changes if we have to go to Mariota. And, I mean, just think about the coaching points here when, you know, they have a sheet for the backups.
Yeah.
And we were told the backups don't get any work for a while there. You know, like,
I mean, they may not get the actual work, but they also know what they like better. And like when the backups are working against the defense, you know, they get some work and they know what they like. You know, let's say, like you said, Jaden may like one concept, Marcus Rock another concept. I think that makes a lot of damn sense, because what if something happens on the first play of the game to your starter or the second play? You go to your backup, what you trying to do, figure it out? This is doing a little bit Joe Gibbs like. I'm planning ahead. You know what I mean? I respect the hell out of that.
I think you got to be impressed by the staff. Yeah. So I just think it's funny. This one tweet that has kind of gone viral is all over the place. Lanville, I think you dropped it in the other day. This dude, you know, the freezing cold takes guy. So this guy, I guess, is like a fantasy football expert or whatever. And he tweeted out back in March. Ready? Commanders are having one of the worst off seasons I can recall from a new regime. Zach Ertz, Austin Ekeler, and Bobby Wagner as marquee signings. Retread head coach Dan Quinn, who was far from first choice, and asked backwards Kingsbury at offensive coordinator. Cherry on top will be if they pass on May for Daniels.
That's the guy. That's when I put the comment. I say, that is why that people are so ignorant when it comes to football. They just speak. They try to do these things to get a little rise and things like that. That dude don't know what the hell he was talking about. Denny, they don't know what the hell he's talking about now.
Well, do you know what he's saying now?
What?
This is the same dude. Kev Masarijan, and all he wants is attention, clearly. He says, Commanders are 5-2 but won't make the playoffs because they've had one of the league's easiest schedules to start. Regression comes for everyone. This is a bad team that will show its ass.
Well, just in case. See, if they happen to mess up, you know, I said it. Nobody else did. But if they don't, guess what I do? I just say something else.
Right.
We know people like that.
Yeah.
They never, ever admit they're wrong. They always try to keep ahead by saying something else asinine and stupid.
Well, perhaps we can offer some advice to the people that are asinine and stupid. On Thursdays, we get together and we have a segment called Bleep You Thursday.
Mm-hmm. You want to bleep him?
Yeah. Frankly.
Bleep that dude.
Bleep that guy.
Yeah.
Roto Surgeon is his Twitter. If you want to say bleep you to him directly via the social media. But this is your chance to say whatever you want, baby. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. If you got anything to get off your chest, if you have been wronged in any way, you got options, man. You got options. And I think right now is the time to get it off your chest. It's funny, dude. All the stuff Cliff said there that I thought was quite important, you know this Taylor Swift thing is going to be all anybody cares about.
Yeah, I can care less.
Did you guys have weird play calls? Yeah. Like names?
We name stuff after anything. If they were in a certain car when they named it, they'll name it after that car. You know, it doesn't make a difference. And it's probably the same play somebody else running that they call Robert, Larry, 478, whatever. They just put a name on it. It's easier to remember, one name. Call the personnel group and boom, Taylor Swift.
Sure.
They know what's happening.
Right. And apparently the tight ends came up with that name.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff's not sure why. And they also have a play called Kelsey. But not specific to Travis or Jason, just Kelsey.
Who else is? It may not be specific to them, but you know what? They had something to do with it.
I don't think the list of dudes that could pull Taylor from Kelsey is that long. But I almost wonder if Cliff's one of them. That's a smooth dude, man. He seems like he does all right for himself.
I don't think Kelsey worried about that.
Who's on the list of dudes Kelsey is worried about?
Probably nobody.
Tom Cruise.
I think guys have to have the mindset, listen, bro, if she want to leave, you can't stop her.
Tom Cruise?
I guess.
It's probably some soccer players.
Tom old as hell.
He is
Tom
old.
Somebody in the 60-something.
Yeah, it's probably like some young actor we're not even familiar
but
with.
But I think when you're confident, you don't think about nobody else. You just think about what you do. You try to be the best you can be.
Be the best you can be.
Yeah.
When we come back, phone lines open. It is Bleep You Thursday coming up at 1 o'clock, Clay Harbor, 1:45, Peanut Tillman. Nobody go anywhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's them. Ain't that some? B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. On Thursdays, we come together as a people. I'm a little worried about Rev T. We haven't heard from him in a while, B. He sent me a note. I think he's opening a new spot. I don't want to give too much away, but if you know the Rev, check in with him because he's probably working his butt off. But to get Bleep You Thursday going, we are going to start with our friend Pat in Mechanicsville. Pat, who you
what
mad
up,
at?
Pat?
Man, I'm mad at myself. I'm going to bleep myself this week. Last week, y'all might recall, I caught up and bleeped the University of Maryland football team. And this week I'm going to bleep myself because they had a big win and they come back and they rebound it. So, you know, sometimes you got to eat your words and be Mitch for Hall of Fame, man. Y'all have a
appreciate
great day.
You, man. They sure came back and made it happen, bro.
They made it happen.
Hey, they shut old USC down, baby.
Thanks for the call, Pat. 800-636-1067.
That's how you give them the bounce back lock.
800-636-1067. Yo, speaking of, we're going to be doing the show from College Park on Monday. They got a big old blood drive going, and we're going to do what we can to support. It is interesting. They sent two dudes that are scared of needles out to the blood drive, but we're going to do our thing, and I believe Coach Loxley's going to come hang out for a minute, which should be dope. You know what will be really cool is talking to Lox about Jaden, too. It'll be interesting for us to be in College Park the day after a big Commanders game, but, you know, if anybody can thread the needle. It's
well, they have their, what's called over there? Their offices over there.
That's true.
So we're going to be near the offices.
Where are their offices over there? Do you know?
Not far from the hotel, I think. That, okay. What's that hotel over there? The name of it?
The fancy hotel that's like right on campus?
Yeah.
It's like right across the street from the main gate. I think it's called The Hotel.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I think it's like a Marriott property, but I think it's called The Hotel. All right, we're going to let folks get whatever's on their mind off of it. The
Commander Tequila said, bleep Heavy Metal Chris because he hung up on him.
Damn, Heavy Metal Chris, do you want to respond? Comandante Tequila is our guy, man.
I mean, I couldn't even understand him. He was so drunk, but sure.
Well, Chris, let me tell you that we often can't really understand him, but we kind of still just let him talk for a few, sometimes 30 seconds, sometimes 2 minutes.
I mean, I didn't even hear his name. That's a thing. That's why. So, you know, I'm glad he's typing at least, you know.
He's firing at you, dude. Moss on the stream is saying bleep all Bears fans. Definitely the one seed of Bleep You Thursday so far is Comandante Tequila. Bleep Heavy Metal Chris, he hung up on me. Well, actually, he wrote, bleep Heavy Metal Chris, he hung my up, LOL.
Just proving my point there, you know.
I don't know if Jeff's around, but I'm sure he is mad that Landfill and I keep pointing out that he listens to the show more when he's not working than he does when he is working. I'd also take the Beltway a good amount. I go over the American Legion Bridge.
Bleep that.
Yo, like, what is the status of the GW Parkway? Is anybody aware?
It's going to be years. I rode on it the other day, and that was Monday.
To go downtown or to come out?
To come out. To go go over towards Lakewood. And I'm going to tell you, I can see people wanting to harm themselves riding on that thing every day.
Dude, like where it's one lane with those intense like dividers and you're 6 inches away from oncoming traffic.
I just
traffic,
think if you're paying attention, you're okay.
You got to be locked in. Like put your phone down. Yeah. Don't mess with the radio.
Yeah, you'll be okay. But if you're paying attention to something else, you may just hit somebody.
All right, I just pulled this up. Bleep you. Yo, this joint is not supposed to be done until, I mean, projections are, what, it fall of 25? So what's after that, winter of 26? Mm-hmm. They're not going to be done in winter of 26.
They better be. Well, Jamie, what are they really doing? When I'm driving the other day, all I saw was people, the little wall on the side. Who cares about the wall? Fix the damn road. You can fix the wall from the other side.
So I'm on the website now. Crews continue to make progress on rehabilitation work daily. As of fall 2024, which we're in it, it's the fall of 24, 33% of the roadway has been replaced, improving drivability and safety. That was the worst potholes in the universe on GW Parkway. But B, if they're only saying 33%,
we'd be done.
75% of the guard wall has been repaired or replaced.
That's the thing I'm tripping on. Who really cares about that guard wall? Fix the road and let people ride. You could fix the road, get it open, and then close off one lane just to fix the guard wall. But they closed made the whole damn thing damn near one lane going each way.
It's crazy.
From the start to end, instead of just going in increments. They getting paid. They getting paid by the hour, must be.
It is.
That's why it's taking them so damn long.
I don't know how that it's easy to do or what, but that is crazy. This is a legit good question from Ahmed. What happens first? The Commanders have a new stadium deal, or the GW Parkway is fixed?
Ooh, I'm thinking a stadium deal.
Not like a
stadium, but just a stadium deal in writing. I'm gonna go with that.
Well, I think the stadium deal, I honestly, I almost want to call my shot because I think we know the stadium deal before like the 4th of July next year. Well, let me take that back because then you got to count on the city. I think Maryland has cash on the table, right? Like Maryland is ready to get this thing done.
Mm-hmm.
D.C., you still got the Senate, and then if you clear the Senate, then you got the city to deal with. I think the city to deal with is going to be a bigger hurdle than people think. But I still think they know I think we get a definitive answer because the federal politics of it have to be finished by Christmas time. Like, if they don't get it done now and everything changes, House, Senate, President, whatever may change, like, they have a path to it now. Who the hell knows what happens after Inauguration Day? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the phones for a Bleep You Thursday. Let's go to Robbie in Winchester.
Hey, yes. I'm calling in about what happened like 6 weeks ago. I called in on a Grant and Danny show. And you know, y'all said Romneyville and I used to say guys all the time. So I called in about 5 weeks ago. And I said, y'all need to make this song. And I wanted to go like this because, I'm a DJ, right? I said, make this song. I go, guys, 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 guys. And they did it the other day. I was shocked. So I just want to thank y'all for that. And I want to say, like, hell to the Redskins. Hey, look, we're going to be
there. Sir, if I may. If I may, I appreciate you listening, Robbie.
Yeah, and they did that. They played that thing when they went, guys, a few things.
We about to bleep you because you call the wrong damn show.
Why don't you call them and thank them?
Yeah, well, I called in on the Grant and Danny show that evening. And so.
That's what we're saying.
Why are you calling us? What did we do?
And Romy Bell was so about saying guys.
All right. Thanks, buddy. you're telling me we can't talk to Commander Tequila and that guy makes sense? What on earth did Commander say?
Oh, my Lord.
I also think Darius made the Guys, Guys, Guys song like 2-3 years ago when Ron first dropped that. I don't think that's new. But shout out to that dude who really enjoyed the Guys, Guys, Guys song, man, and decided to let us know about it. Carlos is on the line. Carlos, who you mad at?
Oh, big fella. Carlos from Suburban Park here, man. How you guys doing?
Everything hey, good? Los, what's up, bud? Yeah, we're good, man.
Good. Hey, listen, as a Navy vet, you know, I serve this country, you know, serving in the United States Navy. And because of that, Navy has a big game against those damn Irishmen. The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. So I want to send out a big bleep you to all those fake Notre Dame fans who, number one, aren't even Irish. Number two, aren't even Catholic. Number three, they don't give a damn about the school and everything. They just want to wear green and all. You ain't Irish. You probably Cherokee. You probably Romanian. You have no green in you. The only green that you got is gangrene on your toe. And so bleep you to all the Irishmen who support all the people who support the Fighting Irish. Go Navy. Beat Army. 7-0 coming this week. Write that down.
Thank you, buddy. There you have it. There you have it.
Deborah's question was, what the hell was that?
We don't know, Deborah. We're not sure. Our guy Jupe is on the line. Jupe, who you mad at, dude?
Oh, boy.
Man, I'm mad at these softest, charming, suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder because of the RG3 years. Let's stop Jaden from running because we got to put him in bubble wrap and give him a warm bottle of milk and read him bedtime stories. It's football. He's going to get injured. It is what it is. It's a grown man's game. That's what that man game is. Let him do his thing. So bleep them. And bleep callers that don't pay attention to the segment.
Thank you, Juke. I appreciate that. That was a wild. That was a wild ride.
Oh man.
Let's go to Alex. Make sure we got time. Alex, who you mad at, dude?
Yeah, this is Alex from the stream. But I've been holding this bleep you since May. I gotta give you a bleep you. I gotta give a bleep you to NASCAR owner Roger Carter, because we gave him that sponsor for the Detroit race, and he no-showed the track, disappeared all summer, and then the race car showed up in a cornfield in Illinois. But anyway, yeah, it wrecked our season, but we will be in Phoenix. But anyway, bleep you, Roger Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carter.
Bleep him.
Supposed to be riding around a damn track, you up in the field.
I gotta be honest, I'm not sure I know what that meant either.
What?
That bleep you, but bleep that guy for sure. Like, the last dude that called in that wanted to thank Grant and Danny, I at least understood what he was thanking them for. Although, why he called us to let them know, I'm not sure. But shout out
when he could call them.
Shout out right to Grant and Danny for playing a song, I think, 3 years after Darius created it for that dude. But I don't know what that guy was just talking about. And if that's been on his chest since June, you gotta get stuff off your chest, dog.
May?
You got to let that out. You can't be walking around mad at a NASCAR owner because he left your car in a ditch 4 months ago. You got to let it out, man. Clay Harbor joins us at 1 o'clock. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We got some Caps tickets to give away, which is exciting.
Yeah.
But I didn't know Jeff was going to call out today, and Jeff was supposed to give us our Wizards season preview. So
that's why he's not here today. He wasn't ready for the preview.
Heavy Metal Chris, hope you're ready to rock it here. It's time. Is he not there? Okay, well then, Landfill, you're up. We need our Wizards season preview. What do you got?
The Wizards, who are terrible, will be playing basketball this year. And unfortunately, some people may watch it.
Well, let's hope people watch. I'm on the alt cast tonight, so watch that.
Yikes.
This is what we asked.
It's going to be a rough year, buddy.
It's me and Patsos tonight. We'll have fun. And I know, what's the bar right there? Taffer's Tavern? If I had to guess. So the Wiz tip off at 7 o'clock, B. Mm-hmm. What time do you think me and Jimmy are in Taffer's Tavern? 9:40.
Y'all gotta do a show there?
We are on air during the game. But as soon as the game ends, we don't have to do post.
Oh, you may be after the game. Jimmy gonna be before.
I'm excited to work with Jimmy tonight. We got Coach Loxley's gonna join us on the show and just on Zoom. And you know what's cool is Larinaga's joining us too.
From
Miami, yeah. You know him from the Mason days, I imagine,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh. Did a few things over at the Mercedes place with him, too.
Oh, well, good for you. The one in Arlington?
Yep.
The Beloffs? Is that the family?
Nah, I don't remember all that.
Wiz Celtics tonight. They open with two straight home games. So if you want to get to a Wiz game, there's one tonight and there's one Saturday. Then they're back-to-back with Atlanta. Nobody's expecting a playoff run right now, but I just want to see the young guys perform.
Yep.
Now, there is another team playing at Capital One Arena that has hit the ground running. And you can win two tickets to go see the Caps next Saturday. Washington Capitals versus Columbus, Saturday, November 2nd at Cap One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. But caller number 10, right now, you win a pair of tickets for free. Caps are on fire, dude. You should go. Caps games, I still think the best atmosphere. Honestly, this is an interesting question for you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also different because the other three sports play so many games and NFL's only one game.
Mm-hmm.
The Caps have had the best atmosphere in-game production and shows and lights and lasers and all that stuff for a while, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, all of a sudden, the Commanders
have caught up.
The game day production in Washington at Commanders games is significantly better than it's been.
Way, way better.
Dude, even just the big flag. Like, I love the big flag at football stadiums, mm-hmm. and the big flag has been kind of lame for a while. And they haven't even done the big flag. They used to just have, like, the – what do you call when, like, the – I don't know if it's police officers or military, but they walk and hold the flag, and they're very, it's a very patriotic thing, but it's like four, six dudes walking up with the flags. Color guard? Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
That used to be how they did it. Now they got a flag from goal line to goal line. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Just the fact, honestly, I am stunned they didn't do this, but the fact that they...
Why are you stunned?
That they...
Why are you stunned that somebody that didn't want to spend money didn't do something?
Like, they used to get, like, local choirs to come sing the national anthem, right? And that's cool. I'm not knocking the local choirs, but now they've got awesome people singing the national anthem every week. They've got real performers at halftime. Like, it's just the legend of the game thing. They're doing it. If you haven't been to a Commanders game and you're thinking about it, it's a different vibe. And this Sunday with Caleb Williams there, I think is going to be a lot of fun.
We have a legend of the game coming on our show tomorrow.
Are we allowed to announce that?
Yeah, I would guess.
This
going to be the legend of the game.
This week's legend of the game is Gary Clark. And Gary Clark's going to join us on the radio tomorrow at 10:30, right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you a quick...
I wonder if Gary will even be up trying to tell us at 10:30.
Can I tell you a quick, awesome Gary Clark story?
Yeah.
So my friends and neighbors, Kim and Dave Pollock, were in their suite for the Panthers game. And they have a son. I believe it was Andrew. They have two boys, but I'm pretty sure it was Andrew. Andrew was there, and Gary Clark came in. And Andrew asked for his autograph, and Gary was awesome. And Gary let him wear his Super Bowl ring for a minute and said it was so cool. And then... I don't know why I said Kim. Paige started bragging about her son, who had scored, I think, like three touchdowns in his flag football game. Mm-hmm. And Gary started joking with him. He's like, man, I need your autograph. Like, I mean, imagine that for a little kid, that feels like. What I mean? Oh, yeah. I just think that's such a neat thing. And I know you've done that forever. And more, I feel like, there's more and more alums back, and then there's more and more alums walking around, and more alums taking photos, and more alums making little kids' days.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole thing about
it. You've been doing it for a while.
Guys do it a lot, especially when they're out and about, but they're allowing guys to be more in the stadium and do it also. So I think it kind of builds the whole aura of the team.
Totally.
What the experience is. And
there's no downside. No downside. Here's what we're going to do. Clay Harbor, NFL vet, makes really good content surrounding the NFL, joins us next.